Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning, we've got Dr. Chuck Harding, and a great evangelist. And this man's a great singer. I know he's a great singer because they have him sing at the National Sword Conference from time to time. I'm just going to let you preach. Come on ahead.
Thank you, Brother Rader.
Yes, sir, I will. Amen. So what I want to do this morning, as quickly as possible, I want to give you three things about the stewardship of liberty. Because we, God's people, have been given that stewardship. You know what stewardship is? You're handed something that's not yours, but you're responsible for it, accountable to it. And so liberty is something that's very precious that we need to understand. And from an understanding, maybe an appreciation, great appreciation, from that great appreciation, a commitment and dedication to hold on to it. Because if we don't, very soon, it's going to be gone that quick. I'm going to tell you tonight how soon it could have been gone just recently if it hadn't been for one senator that stood up. But this morning, take your Bibles, go with me to Acts 22, and we need to start speaking for ourselves, amen? We can't let someone else speak for us for too long. We've let other people speak for us. It's time that we get prayed up, and we stand up, and we speak up. Amen? Amen. Acts 22, this morning. Here's Paul giving his defense before the multitude. He's speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue. They are basically Hebrews, and so he is basically giving them his defense of what happened in his life, and they're giving him attention. He's the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He's an intellect. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest men of Judaism of his day. He also had some regrets because he told them he was the man that held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. Very zealous, he said. He said, but then he met the Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah on the way. And look at this in verse 21. Because this is what Paul tells them that he's been called to do in Acts 22 and verse 21. And he said unto me, this is Paul relating the fact that the Messiah is saying unto him, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, the Jews didn't have much use for us because we were the old cur dogs and we were the heathen, and we were. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, you know that's a dead giveaway when someone's upset. So if you ever see that, get away from those people, okay? And the chief captain, while they were doing this and about to tear Paul apart, chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. As they bound him with thongs, those leather straps, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained out of this freedom. And Paul said, look at this, but I was freeborn. The stewardship of liberty. Heavenly Father, now as we bow before you, coming out of the hustle and bustle of the world, still our minds and our hearts now, Lord, for this next little while. And Father, the aches and pains, burdens of life, push them to the back that we might focus on these eternal truths. As I step back, Lord, and surrender everything that I am to you, articulate my speech, clarify and direct my thoughts, but most of all, through and by your Holy Spirit, your Holy Ghost, Lord, fill me with his power, that everything that's said might be an honor and glory unto you. And Father, further than that, allow, we ask, please, Lord, that you'd allow your Holy Spirit to move through us free, that his presence once again might be sensed by everyone, and that we might have our minds and hearts open to him. And we'll be very careful to give you all the praise and glory for what you're about to do, for we ask it in the precious name of your Son and our Savior. And by the power and the merit and the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What can we, what should we understand? I know missionaries over on foreign fields that are there laboring for the Lord under tyranny. They understand liberty even better than we do. When they come back, I've heard them say, oh, I landed and I can almost feel an oppression come off of me. Those men that and ladies that fought for our country, they understand liberty much more than the normal person because they've done something for it. Even immigrants. I talked to a man in Idaho not too long ago from Russia. He said, I came here for freedom. I came legally. I'm an American citizen now. But I wonder why everyone is letting liberty, freedom, just go through their fingers like water. Why? I said, I'll tell you why. Because we've had it so good for so long that we take it for granted. Look, it's human nature. If you don't work for something, you have to work at appreciating it. Amen? That's just human nature. And how many times do we appreciate something or someone after we've lost it or them? Sure. Yeah, that's just who we are. That's the dynamic exchange between the chief captain and Paul. The chief captain probably came to Paul, one of those linebacker kind of guys with all of the regalia of the Roman Empire. That male, and you could probably see the scars in his body. And he said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. What he was saying, I came up to death several times until finally Caesar gave me my freedom. And Paul says, I was freeborn. I'll guarantee you, anyone that's fought for our liberty understands much more what it is than we who have never been shot at on the battlefield. My dad was a World War II veteran. He wanted me to have some of the things that he didn't have when he was growing up. He grew up through the Depression, and so we lived back east. I just talked to a young fellow over here, 16 years old. He's driving, but he's driving his parents' car. Amen. And I said, you're saving for a car? Yes, I am. Well, my dad wanted me to have the things. But we had a police auction around Washington, D.C. This was years ago. This was back in the 60s. You get this right. Okay. And we went to a police auction. My dad bought me a Triumph sports car. Six cylinders. Convertible, real wood dash, four on the floor. I mean, one barrel carburetors. We put on cross-tread Pirelli racing tires. We bought it for $60. Don't get your hopes up. Those days are gone forever. And so we fixed it all up, got a new clutch and pressure plate in it. And the day before I turned 16, he said, now, son, I've been driving for 25 years. I've never got a traffic ticket. I want you to match my record. Okay, Dad. He shouldn't have bought me a sports car. Because I turned 16 the next day, got my license and my first ticket. I was not enjoying my birthday, and I went home, and my mom said, don't say anything to your dad until he's eating his dinner. Smart lady, my mom. I come in out of Washington, D.C., and so in any case, he sat down, and he was enjoying my birthday dinner. I wasn't enjoying my birthday dinner. I was sweating, and everyone was supposed to leave so I could approach my dad. Everyone left except for my little sister, who wanted to watch the fireworks. And so I said, Dad, I don't think I'm going to quite match your driving record. He frowned and said, what do you mean, son? My little sister started giggling. My dad was a smart man. He looked at her joy and the consternation on my face, said, what happened, son? I said, I got my first ticket today. He saw the humor in it. There was a silence as if an eternity. Finally, he said, well, I guess the pressure's off. And it was. I was going to live unmaimed another day. Amen. But what I said all that to say this, I didn't appreciate that little car. You know why? Because my dad didn't make me work for it. And I didn't have the maturity at 16 to work at appreciating it. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't saved then. And so we need to understand, hey, why are we here today? We're here today to work at appreciating the fact that the Lord saved us. Yeah. We're not working our way to heaven. No. We got saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Amen? Yeah. But we're here to basically say, Lord, we want to worship you. We want to thank you. And we're working and appreciating the fact that we are and have that gift of eternal life. And we are saved and going to heaven. And look, you stop reading your Bible. You stop going to church. You stop praying. You get cold real quick. You'll start basically taking advantage or not really appreciating the liberty that you have spiritually. How much easier is it for us to not appreciate the civil liberty that God's given us? And so we need to understand, we need to work at it. We need to realize some things about them. The first thing we need to realize is the origin of liberty. And where is that from? That's from God. We sing that song, My Country, Tis of Thee. We could actually name it, My Country is Because of You. God is the author of liberty. Amen. It says in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. the true liberty of man. Isaac Backus, one of the preachers of the War for Independence, said this, is to obey, to know and obey and enjoy his creator and do all the good unto and enjoy the happiness in his fellow creatures. So we love up and we love out. That is the liberty that we have as God's people. And every generation, the world has always produced enemies of freedom, and they've always attacked America because America is freedom's home and has always been its defender. Yes, we are the land of the free, because we're the home of the brave. And here's the thing that gets me, though. God also says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. But you know what we've done in the decades previous to this? We've let other people vote the natural man into power. And we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in today. We're in the mess because we got a bunch of blind people. And I hear these people in the news. And they're all saying, well, I can't believe it. Because they're blind. They have no understanding that the baby that a woman bears is a human soul. It's not just a fetus. It's a human soul that God says he knows. He knows who that person is going to be, and even named babies from even before birth. But here's the thing. Why don't we vote more? And you know why? Because we've been told your vote doesn't count. And so we've let the natural man get into office. No wonder we are in the mess that we're in today. Have you ever tried to explain color to a blind man? Do you know the value of life? They have nothing. They have nothing, no concept whatsoever. Because my cousin, I had a cousin by the name of Johnny. I remember I was 5, he was 10, on our grandmother's porch. And I was an unthinking 5-year-old. I said, Johnny, the sky is so blue and the grass is so green. And Johnny said, what's green? And I can still remember from 5, trying to describe to Johnny what green was. I had no way to put green into words. You can't put liberty into words for a blind person. You can't put the value of life, the value of the traditional family. Hey, look, it was not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. And this transgender and same gender, that's all saying and direct opposition to God, saying that God makes mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And for anyone to start trying to put a standard of approval on that is not biblical. By this time, people say, Brother Harding, I don't think you're politically correct. Thank you. Well, I wasn't complimenting. I take it as a compliment. Because we're about to politically correct ourselves into oblivion. Yes. Amen? I want to be biblically correct, constitutionally correct, historically correct. Hey, well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus came to give peace on earth. Shouldn't we be holding hands, singing Kumbaya? Well, what did the Lord say? Are you with me? Take your Bibles, look to Luke 12 and verse 51. Are you with me today? Say amen. I'm moving along quickly here, so please follow as quickly as you can. I'm going to start reading for the sake of time. It says this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. The Word made flesh that dwelt among us. The Lord said, look at it, Luke 12, 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather what?
Division.
Division. Division, huh? He came to bring division? Isn't that what he said? See, we're supposed to be biblicists, right? Now, why would he bring division? Because light separates from darkness. Salt from the putrefaction of sin. That's why. It goes on to say in other verses, John 7, verse 43, so there is a division among the people because of him. John 10, verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. What do you think some of those sayings were? How about John chapter 14, verse 6, where the Lord sums it up this way? He says, I am the way. You know what the world says? A bunch of different ways. No. God in the flesh said, there's one way. The world says, oh, look, there's a lot of different truths. No. The Lord said, I am the truth. Truth has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And then he said, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to go ahead and beat your head against the brick wall, go ahead. But it's not going to change the brick wall. It's going to change your head. Amen. And trying to buck up against the truth is not going to change the truth whatsoever. So liberty in Christ Jesus is what our Bible is based upon. The liberty that we have, our soul liberty, that we Baptists have been chased, hung, drawn and quartered and whipped to death for decades and decades until we founded America. And even in America for a while. You know, Patrick Henry, he gave that great speech where he ended it with the words, "Give me liberty or give me death." You know, those weren't even his words. Those were the words of a preacher outside the Culpeper, Virginia jail that was being beaten to death because he didn't have a license from the state-run church. And Patrick Henry came on that scene. Can you imagine watching someone beaten to death with a whip? And asked a bystander, "This man must have done something very hellacious to suffer this type of punishment and death." He said, no, he's a preacher. And he didn't have a license from the state-run church. The state-run church here in America was the Church of England. And the head of the church was the king. You left the Church of England was treason. You didn't have a license from the state-run church. Treasonous. You forfeited your life. If it was in those days, there would be a horse right out here and someone holding the horse. Because as soon as I got through preaching, I'd jump on the horse and take off. Because if I didn't, hung or beaten to death or drawn and quartered. But now we preach and we go eat. It's a refreshing change, don't you think? Amen. But Patrick Henry heard that man say those words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Hey, what we need to understand once again is we have to have the right position and the right disposition also. We are living epistles, every single one of us. We have a glorious inheritance. You think about that. There's certain things I've been given by my forefounders. Boy, I'm going to guard those jealously. The blood that was shed for us. Twofold, spiritual liberty, civil liberty. Do you know there's some young fellows coming up in the ministry that won't even have a flag in their church because they say it's idolatry? Are you kidding me? Look, patriotism is our faith nationalized. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? That was the goal. But he also wept over his national capital of Jerusalem. Huh? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. He knew that. The Lord, our Savior, understands the duality of citizenship that we all hold. Number two, very quickly, liberty must be guarded. What took a monumental effort to obtain takes only a careless lack of concern to lose. And we've been losing it unbelievably quickly over these last several decades, since the 1940s, where our veterans from World War II came back. And yes, they are the greatest generation in a lot of different ways. But one thing they didn't do, they turned their back on the beast. Thomas Jefferson said, never turn your back on the beast because it'll get out of its chains and it'll start eating its own. Say, what's the chain? It's the Constitution of the United States. That's the chain that chained down the beast right there. There it is. That is the very thing that keeps the beast. What happened? We stopped understanding what the Constitution meant. And the beast got loose. 62 million of our citizens eaten up. I mean, innocent babies attacked in what should be the most sacred place for life on earth. And in America, it is sometimes more dangerous than the inner urban streets of our cities. We must guard liberty. Look, liberty is not going to be basically taken from us from without. It's going to be an erosion from within. Let me just read you three things very quickly. From the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, completed in 1787 by Edward Gibbon, following the reasons for the fall of ancient Rome. See if you don't see these reflected in America today. Very quickly, number one, the rapid increase of divorce. The undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. An increasing obsession with sex. Ancient Rome, see that in America today? Hello? Are you with me today? Yeah. Number two, higher and higher taxes. Spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the populace. An increasing desire to live off the state. Ancient Rome. See that in America today? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely here. And here's the problem. People are giving freedom for free stuff. I don't want the government doing anything for me that I can do for myself. I don't want a big government. I want a very small government. You understand? Here's what Ben Franklin said, they that can give up essential liberty to obtain temporary safety deserve neither safety nor liberty. You know how the Bible says it? 2 Peter chapter 2, 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, America has become wanton. Would you not agree with me? Yes. Wanton. Those who were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome of the same, he is brought into bondage. And so we see these things. We understand these things, a higher and higher taxes. Number three, mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming more and more exciting, more brutal. Enthusiasms pretended to be creativity and freakishness in the arts. This reality TV garbage. It's garbage. Reality TV, turn that garbage off. And freakishness in the arts. I met my wife. She's not here today. I hope you can meet her one day. She's a lovely lady. We've been married for 47 years. I met her in art school. She was working on a drawing. I walked over. I was 20. She was 17. And I said, oh, very nice. She said, oh, you like my drawing? I said, I wasn't talking about the drawing. Now, you young fellas, leave that to the professionals, okay? All right? It worked. Here we are 47 years later, okay? But we've gone to the National Art Gallery in Washington, D.C., and we've gone, we know what galleries not to go into. You know, we don't go into the Baroque areas, but we'll go into, you know, where the masters are. And we used to like to do that. We haven't done that in years, but I remember one time we went into this traveling exhibit, and there was a big painting hanging on the wall, and it looked like someone had tripped over buckets of paint, splattered on a canvas, and they hung it up. And there were two people talking. So I walked over to see what they were saying. Well, there was a self-proclaimed authority, and there was a person that wanted to know. And they were looking at this splattering of paint on this canvas. And the one person said, well, what's that? And the self-proclaimed authority said, oh, that's a great work of art. Oh, how much is that worth? Oh, well, that's priceless. Well, what's that entitled? That painting is entitled Man's Inner Struggle with Self. And I felt like saying, yes, and he lost right there. Because it looks like someone got sick on a canvas and they hung it up. Amen? Amen. You know what that is? Buffoonery. Hey, look, art is supposed to reveal truth. Absolute truth. That's what the Bible is. We're epistles of absolute truth. But when you see garbage like that in a society, it shows you where society is heading. You understand? Amen? So, liberty is from God. He's given it to us. Liberty must be guarded, because if it's not, it's going to be taken away. And if we don't appreciate it, commit to it. And look, you say, well, what can I do, Brother Harding? I want to, well, come back tonight. Hey, by the way, this is God's day, not God's morning. Amen. Amen. You say, well, it takes some commitment. It's going to take some commitment to save our country, but we're at the crossroads right now. And if you want to get serious about saving our country, we need to get serious about coming back to church at night as well. Amen? And not to know that, you know, and I'm not saying that you don't. But what I'm saying is, number three and last, true liberty always comes at great personal sacrifice. That means someone that wants to live free, someone else has to be willing to die for that someone to live free. John to Abigail Adams, November 1778, quote, it seems to be the intention of heaven that we should be taught the full value of our liberty by the dearness of its purchase, end quote. Do you know that our founders had a different class of men that fought? You know, Washington said, you want to know the price of liberty? Then look at the bloody footprints of the men at Valley Forge in the snow that don't have enough leather to keep their feet from suffering frostbite and their toes from breaking off. And their feet from splitting and bleeding, and yet they're still here. Men that will lay down in the snow at winter without anything to cover them, no hut, no lean-to, just some evergreen trees that basically they've cut the branches in, and they do it without a murmur. He said, you want to know the price of liberty? Then look at these men whose clothes are rotting off of their bodies. You can count the ribs because they're so hungry, many of them suffering from malnutrition, and yet they run into battle after battle because these men many times were led by their pastor who knew how to get down into their soul and heart and say, this is just not another battle. This will settle the fate of millions of people to come. It's bondage or liberty, and we must stand for generations that will maybe not understand what happened here, but we need to stand so that they can stand. Blood, that's the cost of liberty. That's why there's the Red Cross the blood of the Savior, the perfect blood that cleansed our tainted blood. And by the way, your sin is red. It's not black. It's red like crimson. And it's a very interesting scientific phenomenon. When you look at something red through a red lens, it disappears. Isn't that good? God washes our sin away by the blood of his son. And then the red stripe in our flag, meaning the veterans that emulated the greatest. Do you understand that 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, but only six of them made it back to sign the Constitution? You know, they died of battle wounds. You know, some of them never saw their families again. You know, some of them went to jail, were tortured to death. Only six of the 56 made it back a decade later. I'm not going to forget those men, nor the patriots and the veterans since then. But I'm telling you today, folks, someone died for us to be here today. Someone died for us to come freely and openly to a church service and worship God, who died and shed his blood so that we can go to heaven, that we can have the abundant life. So as I close today, I have two invitations for you. First of all, when was the last time you got to an old-fashioned altar and you just thanked God for the fact that you live in a free nation called the United States of America? When was the last time you got to an old-fashioned altar and just thanked God for all of those numberless people that have died on battlefields, never being able to enjoy the liberty that they gave their life for? I walked through that Normandy graveyard, and it was almost like those tombstones were speaking to me. He being dead yet speaketh. I died for liberty. What are you doing to hold on to it? But the most important invitation I have today is this. Who are you here today where you don't even know for sure that you're going to heaven? Oh, I'm in church. I'm a Christian. Coming to church doesn't make you any more Christian than walking into a garage makes you an automobile. It is simply realizing you're a sinner and the wages of your sin is death. God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself there by the wage that you earn. But the gift of God is eternal life. And by the way, there's no way to earn a gift. You just have to ask for it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So look, if you're here today and you're in bondage, don't wait one more moment. Find out. We have the key that unlocks those chains. Amen? So I might be embarrassed. You're going to be a lot more embarrassed if you don't get saved and you stand before the great white throne judgment, all of humanity hears God say, depart from me into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil's angels. I never knew you. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched and the smoke of their torment rises up forever. It's too late then. Every knee will bow. Some will bow too late. Don't be one of those people that bow too late. Well, people think I'm a Christian. I don't care. Neither should you. What you should care about is if the Lord knows that you've accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Hey, look, it's just that easy. You say, I can't believe it's that easy. It's just that easy. You turn from your sin and way into God. You say, well, I don't think I could give up some of the things that I'm doing. You won't, but God will give you the desire to do that. You just come exactly how you are today. So I want to know, first of all, who are you? Who are you that you say, I'm going to be courageous today, Brother Harding, and I want you to pray for me. In just a moment, I'm going to raise my hand so you can pray for me, because I don't want to go to a devil's hell, because he never intended it for you. He intended it for the devil and his angels. The stewardship of liberty. The future belongs to us, unless we give place to the devil. It doesn't belong to the heathen. It belongs to us. Let's claim it, and let's do something for it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.